He describes the dramatic results of his speciality as the most exciting surgery I can conceive of. And when San Francisco plastic surgeon Doug Oosterhout brought his before and after photographs to present to the Transgender 2007 conference in Norwich recently, it was easy to see why. Facial feminization surgery, the technique Doug has pioneered for two decades, may not be necessary for all trans people to transition successfully. Many would strongly argue that it's more important for society to change and to adapt to the reality of some trans women having strongly masculine faces. The same people might argue that babies with congenital deformities should not be operated upon either. Whilst we fix the world, however, there's no denying that a trans woman who passes well will have a very different life experience from one who doesn't. Whilst he was a guest at the University of East Anglia, Doug was interviewed by BBC Norfolk reporter Jenny Kumar, who agreed to me eavesdropping with my own microphone. Jenny began by asking Douglas about the work he does and how he came to it.
My work originally started in craniofacial surgery, taking care of children primarily with various types of facial skull deformities. That evolved in the 80s to where now almost, I will say, 85-90% of my surgical practice is in feminizing the skulls of male to female transsexuals.
And how do you go about that?
Oh, you don't want to hear the answer to that. And about 1982, one of my colleagues in San Francisco who did at that time gender reassignment surgery referred a patient to me to feminize their forehead. And I, even though I'd been working with all kinds of skull deformities for years, I actually have to admit that I didn't ever think about the difference between a male and female skull. So I examined a large series of skulls at two skull collections in the Bay Area and read, I guess, about five or six books on physical anthropology and started out with just doing the forehead changes. And over the years, it evolved to where I now do seven or eight surgeries commonly on the feminization of the male face.
You know, how specialized is what you do? I mean, are there many surgeons in the U.S. that do your kind of work?
It is my feeling that to do this work properly and to complete the surgeries that are necessary, that one needs to be what in plastic surgery is called craniofacial surgically trained. Craniofacial surgery is, I think, throughout the world at least a year's program after finishing your normal plastic surgery training. The training that the experience that one gets doing craniofacial surgery is necessary for much of what we do in the feminization process. I don't think that the general plastic surgeon, I mean general, sounds like that's a lesser person. I don't mean that. But the training in working with skull bones and moving skull bones and taking bone grafts from the skull and doing the things that are necessary for this maximum result is not in the usual plastic surgery training. And I think one needs more extensive training in order to become to have a lot of ability in this field.
What impact would you say then your work has on people who are going through this process? How important is it for them to go through the kind of surgery that you do?
I think the impact is obviously relative to how that person feels about themselves. I think that the patients who have had this surgery, it's been an incredible response. It's unbelievable the results, the changes that it made on people's lives to where they've been looked at maybe walking down the street with a very male face and yet a beautiful skirt and beautiful jewelry but still looking very masculine and being looked at out of the corner of the eye or maybe being said certain things that patients read on their lips, to becoming a female and blending or melding in society and being received as a female, functioning as a female, and being the way they feel internally. It's been incredible, the response that these patients have had. It's the most exciting surgery I can conceive of.